Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ and Bubble Boy are in the studio. Barry the Bugger here as well. What is he doing over there? What is he's got something
know.
He wants to plug in?
I have to calculate your net worth.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, something he has to plug in he brought into the studio.
Abacus.
Barry in his real life is an accountant, and so he is going to sit there and figure out what how much money we're losing by the minute. Is that the deal?
Something like that.
Yeah, okay. All right. By the way, a little programming note. Last week we announced that Dr. Alex Brilski is going to join us on the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. That is a big, big deal. Just Google Dr. Alex Brilski. He wrote the book on diving. Like the Paddy Diving Encyclopedia that you have to study as part of your dive master and instructor training. He literally wrote that book, and he's going to be on our next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise December 8th through the 15th as we celebrate Christmas in the Caribbean with Explorer Adventures for a very special event. And you can call him up at 1-800-322-3577 and book it today. We got a few other surprises that we're working on that are going to happen during that week as well. So just the fact of having Dr. Alex on board with us is going to be a treat in itself, because he's going to give some special seminars in the evening after dinner about conservation things, ecology of the reef, and all that kind of stuff. He's just a wealth of information, and to be able to spend a week with him on board is going to be quite a treat for me personally and for anybody else wanting to join us for the week there in December. So it's going to be quite a trip indeed. Now, next Saturday, as we have been doing recently, when we're in the studio, we do this Facebook Live thing. And the gang is in there posting comments and stuff. And I don't really have the luxury to monitor it as closely as I would like to. Jerry the Diver Guy's in there, too. He's been trying
shame.
Yeah, I know. You've been chatting back and forth with everybody, though, right, Jerry?
I usually do, but I have it today.
You haven't? What's wrong with you, man?
Well, I'm looking at everything else.
Okay. Well, got to quit surfing the web.
Hang on. I'm getting on there right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of distractions on the internet, but Facebook Live is one of them, and we have our live feed going as well. It's costing us a fortune, according to Barry the Accountant. As you can hear him working the numbers, it's magic. But
you need to get another job, Greg.
Yeah, I heard that. However, next Saturday, we're planning to have Rachel from Explorer Ventures join us during the show, and she's going to be on the show, and then she's immediately going to go into the Facebook Live forum and be there for an hour or so for people to chat and ask questions about liveaboard diving and stuff. So if you don't get all your questions answered when we have her on the radio, you can get a little bit more personal about what your needs may be from a diver's perspective, just so we're clear as we bring her into the Facebook Live forum. And that is planned for next Saturday. So mark your calendars and make your programming plans now. All right, so that's next week. However, this week we got a lot of stuff to navigate through. I think we've covered this rebreather thing pretty well in hour one, but there are a few other news nuggets that we can dive into this hour. And thing we've been talking about a lot lately is Florida spiny lobster season. Barry the Bugger, when he's not accounting, he is Barry the Bugger. Even though last time he went out lobster diving, he got skunked, I think. Yes. He limited out on the radio, right, Barry?
Well, yeah, but I got skunked.
But he got skunked in real life. So he's
man,
on a
that's
mission.
Pretty rare. Usually he comes up with at least two bugs.
Yeah.
No. I caught lobsters, but they were the pregnant or they were short.
I hear you.
And it ain't worth
been
it.
There.
Yeah.
Been there.
Story
done
of
that.
My life. Pregnant or short.
Yes. Okay. I think that's an age issue, though, when it comes to Captain Walt. But you know, whether it's Walt, myself, or Barry, or any of us for that matter, I think we can all agree that eating fresh Florida spiny lobster, there's nothing like it, especially at the Gomez Hilton. I mean, it's just part of the thing. But, I mean, when you get fresh Florida lobster, it is just a amazing thing. And then there's something about, you know, catching what you eat. You know, just that whole adventure of going out there and hunting, gathering.
I mean,
and all
eating
that
what you catch.
Yeah.
Not paying $300 for your plate of dinner.
Well, you don't want to pay that, no. But that's why you got Barry the Boater doing the accounting after all that stuff is done. Because if you added it up, it probably wouldn't be very efficient from a financial standpoint. However, you know, the one thing you do know is you know what you're eating. Because you caught it, right? It isn't like you're going into the store and assuming, hey, this is fresh tuna or whatever, and you know, a Maine lobster or whatever. You don't know where it was caught or whatever. I mean, the lobster's one thing because it'll be in a tank, I guess. But
no,
like
that's a Maine lobster. Florida
lobster, lobster coming from Central America.
Well, that's true. Yeah, Florida spiny definitely, or spiny lobster could be from anywhere.
So well, you're saying we could be eating illegals?
Well, we could be eating the laxative of the sea.
What?
Isn't that the next cruise ship you're going on?
They eat small snails, Greg. Small snails.
It's actually a thing, believe it or not.
Oh,
and
gosh,
it's a Canadian thing, evidently. I saw this story this week where the laxative of the sea is being passed off as a premium fish in Canada. So the moral of the story overall is, for God's sake, don't eat fish in Canada because you might just get the,
You'll be running for the border.
Maybe some listeners from Canada can chime in and let us know if that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
you check them for their A card.
Yeah, okay, you could do that. But what they're saying, according to one report, roughly 44% of the fish were incorrectly labeled. And what's more, 60% of the roughly 400 samples collected from retailers in Vancouver, Victoria, Toronto, Ottawa, Halifax, are found to carry potential health risks. That doesn't sound very...
Like what? That's a little vague.
Well, it could be a number of things. But evidently, butterfish is a popular fish in Canada, I guess. I don't know. Have any of you guys ever heard of that?
Everything butterfish.
Parquet.
Okay.
I put a lot of butter on fish.
Well, true. But I would say, instead of butterfish, consumers have been eating escalar.
Escobar.
Escalar. Which it kind of looks like E. coli or something.
Ugh. Oh, my God.
I mean, just the word. I mean,
I
got
to calculate that.
But it's an oily fish. But this oily fish, escalar, has been called the quote-unquote laxative of the sea.
Ugh.
It caused diarrhea, vomiting, and other stomach problems.
Mm.
It's banned in several companies.
Here I go again.
It's banned in several countries like Japan, South Korea, and Italy. But it's also a substitute sometimes for white tuna. So they're just saying there's rampant seafood fraud in Canada, and I mean they're saying this is a global problem. But
that's
this report was based in maybe I don't know. Could be a seafood thing.
So you're suggesting that what we should be doing is going out catching our own seafood.
Exactly.
I'm wondering if
way to tie it together, Barry.
Yes, that would be one way to ensure from. Eating the laxative of the sea.
No, thank you.
Yeah. It doesn't sound very appetizing, does it?
Got to have your fiber, man.
Yeah. Just another reason to go diving, you know, whether it's lobster or, you know, hogfish like we get in Florida.
Yummy.
Now, there were a lot of hogfish when I dove that day.
I remember Barry was pointing them out to me. He's like, yummy.
No. Delicious. The other time when I went out.
I thought you meant when we all went out.
Were you solo diving, Barry?
I cannot answer that question.
Why?
That's a yes.
Okay. Well, you can answer that question.
No, I don't want anyone to get in trouble.
Who would get in trouble?
No,
you.
I'm not going to discuss that.
You wouldn't get in trouble.
I don't want anyone else to get in trouble.
What you mean? Well, the only one's going to get in trouble is you, because if your wife hears, she will be annoyed with you, right?
She doesn't listen.
Yeah, but there's no rule against you being able.
I know there are really more suggestions than rules, but
well, no, I mean, if you were on a dive boat, you couldn't. You weren't on diving off a boat, were you?
What's the problem?
No comment. Yeah, well, that's right. You had a spare air. True.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, actually, you can solo dive. Well, you're not solo dive certified, is what you're saying. And if
no,
you're on
I
a
enjoy
charter boat.
I enjoy going solo diving. Some boats frown on that.
Well, I understand. You know, I mean,
I don't want anyone to get in trouble.
No one's going to get in trouble.
Okay.
I mean, you've heard.
Come
the
on,
show.
Barry.
I enjoy solo diving when I'm hunting because then I don't have to worry about anyone else losing.
No competition.
No. I just
yeah, it's
lose
no competition. Because yeah. When you dive with Barry the Bugger, trust me, you're going to lose. If he sees one, he gets it in his sights, and you're in the way, you're going to be pushed out of the way. That's just how it goes, Barry.
That's right.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Explore new places. Make new friends. Do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I used to watch you at the improv when I was starting out. So you made me laugh so hard because I had just started learning to scuba dive. You did that bit about scuba diving and how the whole point of the sport is not to dive.
There's a fish, there's a rock. Who cares? Don't dive.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, CJ Bubble Boy, Barry the Bugger, Walt DeMartini, Jerry the Diver Guy, Vinny Two Tanks, full crew navigating the latest diving news and information, and also on Facebook Live today. Let's see, Gerald's checking in from San Diego. It's sunny, evidently, in San Diego today. Thanks for saying hi, Gerald. Appreciate it. I see Dave Crockett. Yeah, he's out there. He's always up there on Facebook Live. I'm seeing your comments. Appreciate it. And once again, next week, we're going to have a special guest in there as well, so you can plan accordingly. All right, so nobody wants the laxative of the sea on their plate if they're ordering seafood. The escarla, or I don't know, some kind of weird fish they call the laxative of the sea that's being replaced for, like, white tuna or something. You never know what you're getting if you pick it up at the store is what they're saying in this report in Canada. So just another reason to go diving and you know, catch what you want to eat, and then you know for sure. You know, sure, it could still be something that's feeding off the poo from the outflow, you know, pipes in South Florida. How do you feel about that, Barry?
We won't discuss that.
No, we will.
It just adds a little flavor.
You think?
Well, think about it. You know, it goes through the lobster, takes care of all of those.
The lobster is a
cleaning,
filter.
It's a cleaning machine.
A filter.
Right.
Okay. And but yeah, how far were we from the outflow pipes?
No, we were pretty far away.
Okay.
So we had pretty clear water.
Yeah, but they have a lot of fish, and I'm assuming a lot of lobster. But I don't think I'd feel real good about eating the lobster that I knew I caught.
Well,
by an outflow pipe.
Absolutely
next,
not.
Next time you're down there, I'll take you out in surprise, and I'll show you where the Hollywood outflow is.
No, I've been there. I've smelled it.
Oh, you smelled it.
Yeah, yeah.
Poop pipe.
The poop pipe, according to Walt DeMartini, is the technical term.
It has a scent you don't forget.
Yes, I'm sure it does. All right. So that's just something, you know, I still think it's better to go catch what you want to eat, and then you know for sure what you're getting. And lobsters are a special thing, but we can go overboard with this stuff. You know, here's another story I came across that, I kind of shook my head and go, really? All right, so up north in Maine, you know, they get the Maine lobster with the claws and the whole thing. I'm actually going to go up there at the end of the month, and I'll be able to firsthand compare fresh Maine lobster with the Florida spiny lobster.
You mean eating them or catching them?
Eating them.
Oh, that's easy.
I'm flirting with going out on a boat, but I'll probably just go on like a lobsterman's boat, you know, and watch them pull up the traps and that kind of thing, and see them all, you know, pull them out of there and that kind of thing. A commercial lobster trap guy.
Pretend you're on Deadliest Catch.
Yes, exactly. But it'll be flat, calm, and sunny.
So we could like get a wind machine and throw water on you.
No,
all that?
You cannot do that.
Yes.
However,
so you're ready. So we'll start in the backyard.
From one of these processing plants. Evidently, they had. Loaded up a big truck to ship it off to a processing plant. This truck was loaded down with Maine lobsters, and it had an accident, crashed, and all the lobsters fell over and were crushed and killed on this highway.
Uh-oh.
And PETA heard about this and petitioned the local city to put up a monument to celebrate the lives of the lobster. So
you're serious?
I that's what the story says. It could be fake news. I don't know. But
was it a big bowl full of butter?
No, it was actually like a gravestone type of thing. Here lie thousands of lobsters died, for no real good reason.
I love because, Greg, they said they died an agonizing death. Like not being thrown in a pot of boiling water alive isn't agonizing.
Well, here's the thing. When they had the crash, I think they had a lobster boil shortly thereafter.
There
the local
go.
Community got together and like, hey, they're here. Why not?
Get them while they're still fresh.
Yeah. No, I don't
know. You know, Greg.
Yes, Walt.
Greg, you don't even have to fly me up there for this because all you do is not the preparation that I do.
Yeah.
With the loving and tender care that I put into preparing the Florida crawfish.
Yeah.
But you just throw these guys in a pot of water. That's it. Boil them up.
There's like no prep.
It's a little crab boil.
Little jacuzzi, and they're good to go. But but these lobsters didn't have that luxury. They didn't get to have that final jacuzzi run before they went to the light in the sky or whatever lobsters do before they're cooked for eating. But PETA wanted to put this money. Now the city has said. Hell no. And, so they're not going to get their monument. But I just thought that was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Really? I mean, what is the point of that? I mean, I understand they don't like, people to eat seafood, lobsters, and, fish have feelings and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's a certain side of that. I don't, discount all of it. But when you do things like that where... You want to create a monument for lobsters that were crushed in a truck accident?
What about that one lobster down in the Keys that Jerry goes by and sees all the time?
Yeah,
the
monster
kind of a monument type?
The Betty.
Betsy,
right? Yeah, that's what they ought to do if they want to celebrate the lobster. Why don't just make a big old Betsy and set it by the side of the road or something and sell trinkets and souvenirs and stuff.
You know, Betsy moved years ago.
She walked across the street.
Yep,
there was
right.
a lobster walk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. In October.
Was it October? Yeah. It sounds like a Halloween kind of thing. It was possessed by the devil, and then it walked across the street. A very Halloween-y kind of thing.
Interesting.
But, yeah, yeah. A lot of people don't know that, but that's I believe that's how that happened. But anyway, so
and then
PETA,
the devil went, "Oh crap, this thing's fiberglass. I'm out of here."
Maybe it could have been that. I'm not sure.
Fiberglass would be really itchy.
True. That would I would think that would that'd be a challenging kind of thing to deal with on a long-term basis. So yeah, you're probably right.
You probably got to slow cook it.
Yeah.
No, you don't cook it,
Barry. Come on. What are you talking this nonsense for? Jeez. Anyway, so hats off to PETA for another bonehead move. I guess we'll leave it
he
at that.
He said hats off.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, take them off.
There you go.
There you go. All right, I have a couple other stories. I'm saving the best for last. Because we
the
have
95-year-old diver.
Oh no, I've seen this story.
What, the dolphin story?
Yes.
Yeah. I think we found a new place for our next dive.
Stinky's cousin.
Maybe, but we'll save that one there because it's going to be an interesting little story for sure. This other one though is how robots are taking over the world. They could replace Barry the Bugger.
What?
Yeah. Now, if you were, for instance, called, Larry the Lionfish Slayer, your moniker would be short-lived.
That's going to cost me too much.
Yeah. The robots are taking over, and they could solve a major problem, or they could just put us all out of business. We'll find out next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. World's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. All right, lionfish are a problem. Lionfish derbies have been popping up all over the world, all over the world now because they've invaded the Caribbean especially and in places where they're not supposed to be. And they're fun to participate in. There was one down in South Florida just last week, and I hear Chiefy scored like the most lionfish or something. Did you see that, Barry the Bugger?
No, I did not see that. He also scores the most lobsters.
Well, he does. That week, Chiefy was focused on lionfish, but him and his team evidently cleaned up for that event. But robots might be putting him out of business because, there's been some efforts to create a robot that could go down and catch lionfish. I saw one, I don't know, we talked about this a couple months ago about a lionfish. Robot sucker, and I'm not sure if it was autonomous, and I think they were operating it from above, but I it could be autonomous. But it basically went down underwater and it'd zone in and find lionfish, and then it'd have some tube and it would suck them up into the tube like a zookeeper, and then it would go find the next one and suck them up, and it'd work on its own and go for a while.
And alert the surface when it's full?
Maybe.
Come up and,
does it have a little grinder and just grind them and spit out the remains in the back end?
No, because they're good eating, you big dummy.
Oh, okay.
Why would that be a perfectly good or perfectly... that would be a terrible way to waste
Plus,
a perfectly
good
one. Plus, that
would attract sharks, and they'd probably bite the machine.
Maybe.
Which that would be cool.
Yeah. But no,
I'm
there's another...
Not cool if you're trying to keep the machine functioning.
Well, maybe.
No, but if it had a camera, you could see inside the shark.
Yeah, for a split second.
You guys are talking nonsense. I'm trying to keep it real here, folks. All right, so this
what
robot,
a look of disgust on his face. I've never seen that.
Works really good for radio, doesn't it?
Wow.
So this other robot, though, uses a spear gun that rotates around, and I'll describe how it works next. It's pretty cool. Interesting. It'd be fun to watch underwater. As long as you don't look like a lionfish by accident, I think that could create some problems. But we'll talk about it more next. Stay close.
is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Sound like they're yodeling underwater.
I don't know what he said. Okay, that's enough of that nonsense. I am Greg the Dive Master. We got more nonsense to cover on our own. We don't need any additional help. But we do have CJ and Bubble Boy in the studio.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And Barry the Bugger.
Thank you.
Walt DeMartini, Vinny Two Tanks, and Jerry the Diver Guy. So it's a full crew.
Woo-hoo. All right.
So look, lionfish are a problem. I love going to catch them. These lionfish derbies are a blast. But, you know, these robots that they're starting to develop, these are coming out of, like, challenges that the colleges have been doing across the country. And they've been given this problem, like, develop a robot that will go down and catch lionfish on its own, and we'll see if we can knock these things back for good. Now, is that the solution? I don't know. It's an interesting solution and a pretty cool challenge, and they have come up with some pretty unique robots that have done this, whether it's sucking the lionfish into a tube, which I've seen that one a couple months ago, but this new one uses spears.
Where nature has failed, science will succeed.
Well, where nature has failed, the robots will take over.
Same, yeah. That's
what okay. I guess you're right.
So they're developing hunter-killer robots, and they'll test them out on fish.
Danger.
Will
Robinson.
Yeah, that guy. He was a diver.
Warning.
There it is. That's the one.
Danger.
All right. So this other robot, though, is kind of interesting because, you know, if you've ever been lionfish spear hunting, the lionfish spears are shorter than a typical, what do we call those things?
Trident. Right?
Spear gun?
Well, bang no.
Stick. Spears.
No, like a
gig,
Bahama sling. What do they call it? What do they call it, Walt?
Slingshot.
Hawaiian sling.
Hawaiian sling. There we go.
I thought that was a drink.
It's a Hawaiian sling
that's
that they
Singapore
use in the Bahamas.
Sling.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But anyway, yeah, it's basically a shortened version of a Hawaiian sling, which is basically a stretch tube on the end of the barb or on the end of the pole with a three-pronged spear thingy. I think that's technically what it's called, is a thingy. Or no, in the Bahamas, it's called a tingham.
So you're saying
tingham.
Yeah.
It's the green manalishi with the three-prong crown.
That's it. Da-na-na, da-na-na,
da-na-na, da-na-na-na-na. Somebody help him.
So this shortened spear, hand spear, has been mounted on a... I don't know, like a rotating gun thing, like on a pistol. So you'd have like six shots. You know what I'm talking about?
Like a revolver?
Yeah, like a revolver.
Or a Gatling gun?
And it'd be cocked. Each spear would be cocked. And then when it would hone in on a lionfish, it would spear it. And then once it spears it, it has these little floats on it. And it instantly releases from the pole and floats the lionfish to the surface.
So the
fisherman stays on the surface, and this robot goes down, spears one, floats to the surface.
If another fish doesn't get it in between there and the surface.
Oh, right. Fine. Sure. Poo-poo on their idea. So anyway.
Only the big grouper can get it.
Well, that's true. Yeah, the other fish don't like those lionfish.
Next thing you're eating it with laxative of the sea and cheese whiz.
No, they're not. It's not because you know it's real lionfish because you caught it.
Pothos.
Interesting. So it's an interesting concept from the standpoint that, you know, it spears it and then it releases and floats the lionfish to the surface. They get the lionfish on the boat and the robot rotates.
Now, do they eat those in Philly?
Lionfish?
Yeah.
With cheese whiz.
I believe that is correct.
Or okay. Provolone.
So anyway, I don't know. What do you guys think? Could these robots put you out of lionfish hunting business?
They're going to put us out of the human human race business.
I guess you just want to make sure you don't look like a lionfish, because if these things start, you know, working the ocean floor and you're swimming along, you don't want it to accidentally.
If you have long hair, you could be in trouble.
Yeah, that could be. You want to be careful about, you know, diving in stripes or something. I don't know. But that would be a nightmare scenario, or a great movie plot when the robots are going after the lionfish, but something magically goes wrong.
No, something goes horribly wrong.
And they turn on
wrong.
The creators.
Not magically.
Well, magically, if you know, you want it to sell. You want the movie to sell, so you have to work in some kind of magic spell Harry Potter thing. I'm just throwing it in from like a Hollywood sellable type of project.
You know, all this technology around you here could turn on you one day.
I think that's what I would just
say.
This
is all fairly low tech. Don't worry.
The technology in this room.
Nah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's turned on us a long time ago. Have you been listening?
Yeah. Did you hear the beginning of the show?
Yeah, really.
Hello? So, hello? Can't hear you.
You will not talk to anyone online.
So true. Yes, Hal. Whatever you say, Hal.
Sorry, Greg. I've designated them unworthy.
Yeah. Yes, but that would have be a whole nother level.
You had
level
Jerry the diver guy on last week.
Of enjoyment as a diver to
why
go down there.
Why have him on again?
We have to avoid the lionfish as it is, but if you had to avoid lionfish robots, that would be something. You know, I mean, if you were down there and you added an element of...
You'd have to start carrying gear to take one out, like a super strong magnet or something.
Right, or just take it to another level where why don't you just take the human death element out of the mix and just instead of the robots getting lionfish, maybe you just have like underwater tag.
Well, I'm thinking it could be like James Bond type of thing. You go down there and you have to find one of these lionfish killing robots.
Yeah.
Plant a bomb on it and swim the hell out of there.
Okay.
And then have your friend film it with this cool movie explosion behind you as you're swimming away, rocketing toward the
camera.
And
the shock wave is coming towards you.
Yeah, now you're talking.
That could be the next Mike Scott novel.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, Eric's not here to pick up on this million-dollar idea, huh? Well.
That's pretty good.
He could always listen to the archive or podcast. That'll never happen.
Yeah.
But anyway, it could. I mean, it just opens the door up to some interesting possibilities that our twisted minds have a tendency to wander into. So we'll leave it at that and let Hollywood do their magic in the future. All right, are you guys ready for the real story that was I've been holding back and saving the best for last? Okay, here's
lay it on me.
Zafar, a sexually frustrated dolphin in French, on a French beast. A French beast. He's a French beast.
French what? Beast. It's Gerard Depardieu.
Zafar.
Wait, let's go ahead and take that again from the top, Greg.
Take two.
And edit, just right. Go. And
three, two, one. All right, sexually frustrated dolphin.
Yeah, try it again.
Say it.
Take.
Stand by. Stand by.
Edit. Three. Sexually frustrated dolphin named Zafar terrorizes tourists on a French beach.
But what you should know. We love all dolphins.
We do.
Always.
But they love us back, at least if you're off of this French beach.
I might even be a dolphin.
Because Zafar has been evidently, you know, I don't know, he's been seen to...
Promiscuous?
Well, he's been blocking people. They've been coming out off the beach and going swimming, and he won't let them back on the beach.
Greg,
yes.
The moral of that story is don't wear a Speedo.
Don't wear a Speedo, maybe. I don't know what it is that Zafar seems to be aroused by, but he's not shy about showing it, evidently, according to some of these pictures and the reports. He's not only keeping the people from coming back to the beach, he's, you know, rubbing up against them, and then you look like, hey, wait a minute, that's not his nostrum, you know, that kind of stuff.
You just make that up.
What do you mean?
Nostrum?
Yeah. No, it's his, you know.
And they have nicknamed the dolphin Harvey Weinstein.
That could be, but it's a French thing. So
Harvey Weinstein.
Zafar is what they've called this dolphin.
Zafar's meaning is victory or victor.
Okay. And that's French?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, actually, it's an Arabic name.
Well, that explains everything.
Jerry knows this.
Yeah, of course. He's a man of
how
he
dare
knows
you
all.
Question Jerry.
Sure.
I would been guessing it was Zafar, the meaning being haven't got none yet.
Okay. Well, maybe you are right, Barry.
I haven't got none.
Barry, I think you're correct. He is an idiot. So, no, regardless, they actually closed down the beach to swimming because Zafar won't let him, he starts harassing him.
Who's he hitting on, the women or the men?
The both. He doesn't seem to matter.
Both.
You know, it's French. They don't care.
We.
Yeah, they kind of, don't they? They're a little bit more liberal in that regard. You know what I'm saying there, Barry?
They do walk around topless up there.
Do they? I didn't know that was a French thing either. But I guess it is, isn't it? Like a French new beach has French elements to it?
Flipper. Hardly know her.
Oh! Okay. So anyway, watch out for Zafar or search him or her out, if that is your preference. More coming up.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I think it's time that we all go dive in the pool.
You don't know me.
I don't know how to swim.
Y'all want to go dive in the pool?
It's just ridiculous.
I know y'all want to go dive in the pool.
My dive master is like,
come on.
Don't worry about it.
Come on.
He'll be fine.
Let's go.
I know what you're thinking.
Let's get fucking wet!
Yeah, let's go.
Come on!
Let's go. Yeah, come on. Dive in the pool. Yeah, okay, we're going to go dive in the pool. Or maybe the ocean. I prefer the ocean. Yeah, that's all that matters. When you're scuba diving, you're going to get wet, whether you like it or not. That's just part of the activity.
Unless you're in a dry suit.
Oh, that's right. I didn't think
you
that
don't
one
sweat
through.
In there?
And a dry suit?
Yeah.
Not if you're properly, you know, wearing the right type of dry suit. You shouldn't sweat. Why would you sweat?
What if it's cold?
You're wearing a dry suit. It's going to be cold, Barry.
Oh,
come on.
Okay.
Have you ever been in a dry suit?
No.
You're a warm water wuss. You're a wet suit diver. You're not a dry suit diver.
I need a place to relieve my urine.
Stop.
Yes. We don't want to hear about that.
Some people are trying to have an early supper.
Okay.
Supper. Or a snack.
So true. Hey, a couple little tidbits. And then we'll wrap it up for today. There's a story out of the Mediterranean. That's how you say it.
The what? Let's take that again.
Is that good, Met. With Wyoming?
The Met. If you go to the Met, there's some research.
Mediterranean.
That's what I said. Hello?
No, you said Wyoming.
People in the know call it the Met. All right. So anyway, they did this research with spear fishermen, some popular spear fishing sites, where the fish seem to know when the divers are holding a spear gun. They did an experiment to see how close they could get to the fish, and if they had a spear gun, they couldn't get nearly as close as divers without a spear gun. The fish had learned to associate, whether it's visually or some sound or something from the spear gun, which is what I've heard before, by the way, is sound. The fish know to avoid that particular diver. They've learned to avoid it. What I've heard about spear guns in particular was sharks. Back in the day, there was some anecdotal evidence that the sharks off of South Florida, the spear fishermen were getting harassed by some bull sharks because the bull sharks were associating the sound. They assumed it was either the cocking of a spear gun or the clanking of a spear gun, knowing that, hey, a free meal might pop up shortly, so I'm going to follow this diver around.
So it's like Pavlov's sharks.
Yeah.
Greg, is this the band guns or the...
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
So they stretch the bands back, but they don't go into whether it's a sound or, you know, just visually having a spear gun in their hand if the fish are sensing it, but somehow they're making the connection that the fish seem to know if they have a spear gun in their hand, they want to get further away from that particular diver, which is a good move, I would say, on their part.
Run, Forrest, run.
Yeah. So the fish may be smarter than you think, or they're picking up on something. They're learning something. So just something to kind of file away, you know, if you're into that kind of thing. The other thing is CJ popped this story up on our radar. I saw it too, but the oldest diver... What is it? Is the oldest diver on record or something?
Yep.
Is what it's saying. He's 95.
God bless him. He just made a dive on Cyprus. He's a British diver.
British.
Maybe
okay.
Roz knows him.
I would bet she does. She knows everybody in the UK.
But I just came across that this morning. I thought that was cool.
That's a good thing.
But so you got a couple more years.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I was going to say 95 doesn't seem like that high of a threshold to break. I mean, there's plenty of people older than that.
Hell of a thing.
I think the dive guy will be setting a new record.
There you go.
Most likely.
He's well on his way, for sure. He has many years left, and he has no reason to stop diving anytime soon. And what would keep you from diving? Nothing.
Tropical storm.
Yeah, you'd have no gravity. You'd probably be, you know, the older you get, you know, the less gravity you want to deal with. So you go down underwater and you don't have to deal with it, and then that'd be a good thing. Plus, the
only thing I can think of is like rogue lionfish hunting drones.
Yeah, robots
with spears.
Yeah.
But you know what you do? You bring down a can of Cheese Whiz and you gum up the works.
That's what it is.
Problem solved.
Wouldn't that work?
I knew that would come in handy somewhere.
I think that would turn into a lubricant.
I saw someone take a can of Cheese Whiz down one day and squirt it open, and all the fish went nuts eating the cheese.
Oh, yeah, they do that.
That's a thing. But they frown on that, though.
Who, the fish?
No, that's not...
The Dairy Council?
No, Cheese Whiz is not known to be on typical fish's food list. You know what I'm saying? It's bad for them to eat that stuff. But I mean, the cruise ships used to do that, and they got hammered for it, and they made it stop.
But if you feed the fish Cheese Whiz and then catch it and cook it, it's already stuffed for you. No?
Hmm. I like it.
Interesting.
I like where his head's at.
Interesting concept.
Then let's start feeding the bacon.
Cheese Whiz come up with provolone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and bacon.
Bacon? You're going to take bacon underwater, too?
Bacon-flavored fish.
I don't know. Someone told me.
Bacon, rum, cheese, fish.
I'm thinking the eco warriors aren't going to like that approach. I think they frown on that type of stuff.
We're just kidding.
It's like taking down hot dogs and bologna and crap like that. I mean, that's not good fish food. I think I thought I've heard that before.
No,
maybe I'm wrong.
Stuff them.
Well, okay, you're thinking, yeah, but if you're not, you're not going to be able to catch everyone.
Please eat
you
this
feed.
Crab meat.
Well, crab meat would probably be more appropriate because that potentially would be on their menu.
Okay, now we can agree.
But the fish may have a shellfish allergy. And then the fish would break out in hives.
Doubtful. Yeah. That would be unfortunate.
Then you'll have to give up being a drill.
And there'd be nobody down there to tweet them.
Feed them butter! Okay, yeah, now you're talking. Little pre-prep for the kitchen. Okay. All right, well, on that disturbing note, we'll wrap it up just in the nick of time.
Smell you later. Wait, that's not how we do it.
Yeah. No, we you know, whether... what do we say? It's always better. Yeah, down where it's
better.
With butter, cheese whiz, whatever. Safe diving, everyone.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.